Proclaim, everyone. Yeah. Proclaim Avoyim, whether here or there. Welcome. So last time we were together, we talked about, again, we're in Siman Lamed Beis. Today we'll be up to Sif Dalet. So we discussed about, two people are waiting. Sorry about that. Admit all these people. Okay. We talked about what you write with, the ink, how to make the ink, and what happens if a person decorated the writing of the tefillin. So the case we talked about is writing, the last case was you write with actual dyo. We'll be on page 83. But then you sprinkled gold dust on it to make it look nicer, or that's what you thought. So the halakha is you have to get rid of the gold. Now the problem is, and we didn't discuss this enough yesterday, that if amongst the words that you sprinkled the gold on was a name of Hashem, Azkara, as we call it, as the halakha calls it, so then you got a problem, because any other thing, you just scrape it off. Hopefully the words and letters are still there. Again, as we discussed, we'll see later, if you erase a whole word or a letter and it's already written, so then you're going to have a problem by tefillin, and that is tefillin have to be written in order. In other words, not just the order like we saw before of the parshos, but even each individual word or letter has to be written in order. It's not true, as I mentioned yesterday, for a Sefer Torah. But so if you can't go back and fix a word or fix something, that's a problem. So so again, if you we're not talking about erasing, you're just getting rid of the top layer of gold, but the word is still there. So that would be fine, except for in the name of Hashem. Name of Hashem, that's also considered like erasing. You know, you're not allowed to destroy, erase, chas v'shalom, name of Hashem. Lo sasun kein l'Hashem elokeichem. And therefore, those tefillin would be a problem.
Does the word azkara have something to do with zecher?
What we mentioned, yeah. Okay, Dalet. Very, what? Oh, I'm sorry.
Does it matter when you're writing tefillin if you write the shel yad first or the shel rosh first?
Oh, we saw that before. Yeah, you're supposed to do the shel yad first. Because it says shel yad first in the order of the, as it is in the psukim. K'shartam lo sa'idach ha'vi'ilu tata pos pe'inacha. So it's the chazal darshan. It's not just the binding, how we wear it, but it's also the writing too. That was before.
Sorry.
The beginning. No, it's okay. It's bashir because it wasn't recorded, so this way, at least that halach, we'll get on. Dalet. Sarak shalo tidvak shum os bechaverta. Very important halacha that you have to make sure that none of the letters in tefillin, the same thing with mezuzah and sefer Torah, they are not connected. They don't touch one another. Now, this is going to be very interesting why. The reason is a lot of people don't know the reason. El kol os tia mukefes gvil. Rather, each letter, each and every single letter, has to be mukefes gvil, has to be encircled with parchment. Now, again, there's a discussion about, we'll get to it later, but there's different layers to an animal's hide. We've been talking about cloth, but there's also gvil and duktzotzos, and there are different. The different layers are used for different things. So gvil is used for Sifrei Torah. Klaf is used for mezuzos. Now, we're going to point it out that we use the language of mukefes gvil, that each letter has to be surrounded by empty parchment or empty gvil. Now, again, we're using that the term by tefillin, even though it's technically not true. It has to be mukefes klaf. But again, that's the term that is used, mukefes gvil. Now again, mukefes gvil means that all the way around the letter, I don't know, I'll use this as an example. So right, so it says Mishnah, right? Let's just use the word Mishnah. So if you look all around the mem, there's empty space, right? Might be small, but there's empty area, right? So too, on Sefer Torah, Tefillah, Mezuzos, there has to be empty, it has to be encircled by empty parchment, empty cloth, empty whatever layer you're using. And that's why the letter, if letters aren't touching each other, it's a problem. And the Mishnah Berurah says this is halacha even b'di'evet. It would be a problem. And even if it's a very small letter, like it's a yud, right? So again, every single letter has to be, again, we'll use that term, you know, it's not technically true by tefillin, mukefes gvil. That's why you see by Chas V'Shalom, by Sefer Torah, you know, sometimes the Baal Korah stops. If there's two letters connected, that's a problem. So again, the same thing here by tefillin. They have to be separate. Again, that's a very, very, very important halacha. Now, the Bir Halacha also discusses, let's hold off on that, we'll see. The Ramah says, V'yichtav k'siva k'tama, and the Ramah says you should write a k'siva k'tama, a writing that's tam. So now the Mishnah Berurah explains, I would define it as clear. In other words, the Mishnah Berurah talks about it, as you know, there's a bunch of letters that could be close to each other, like a chaf and a beis, or a resh and a dalet. So when the sofer writes, or whoever's writing, they have to be careful that they write in such a way that it's clear, whatever the letter is. Now again, you can imagine this gets into a problem if you have, like we saw a couple days ago from Mr. Green, like a really teeny pair of tefillin. So, you know, like, it's really difficult to write something that small. First of all, it's going to last. That's not going to... And second of all, that's going to be... The writing is clear. Let's say, you know, like, a vav and a yud, you know, like, when you're writing something that small, it's going to be a little problem. But again, the writing has to be clear. Shelo yatzar afilu kutso shel yud. That there's not missing even a kutso shel yud. So as we discussed last time, we might discuss a little later when we get at the end of Lama Beis. At the end of Lama Beis, the Chofetz Chaim has a whole thing in certain Mishnah Berurahs. It's not here. But in certain, it's called Mishnah Sofrim. And he explains how each letter is supposed to... It's supposed to look. And again, with a yud, so again, we have a very small letter, but again, the right leg, so to speak, comes down, but also the left side, people don't, and this is why we call it kutso shel yud. Whenever you want to define something as being very small or very tenuous, or call it kutso shel yud, you know, it's just that much of a difference. So again, a kutso shel yud, not the right side, the left side of the yud has to come down a little. I don't have a pen with me. But again, So again, I'm going to make this a very nice pen. Again, I'm not going to color it in completely, but this is a yud. Again, it has to have, comes down obviously, but again, this is one thing, but also see this part over here. That's called a kutso shel yud. It's very, very small. Thank you. And again, if it doesn't come down, it's a big problem. So you can imagine, so from have to be very, very careful. So again, The Kutzo Shuyot, again, here the Mishnah Berurah is discussing that a sofer has to be careful with a Kutzo Shuyot. Now, please, don't do me a favor. Don't start. We have a really blind heart, beautiful Sefer Torah. Don't start looking when you get an aliyah at every. It's a beautiful Sefer Torah, so I don't think we got a problem, Baruch Hashem. But, anyways. And right, so Rama says Lo Yasar Fil Kutzo Shoyud Vie Metuyag Kil Chaso, and there has to be Tagim. Now Tagim they basically translate as little crowns, not really little crowns, but on as the Mishmur explains, there's certain letters. If you look at Tez Zion Kil Chaso, Beoso Shatnes Gats. And shatnez gatz, excuse me. On those letters, there's three little crowns. They're little zions, really small, right? And I'm sure you've noticed them. And again, that's halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. Again, yeah, Rabbi Akiva used to learn halachas from. Again, that's not our pay scale, but. So those letters have to have those little crowns on it. Those three little zions. Sometimes there's one little crown. So one little zion. So again, you have to have that. Now the Mishnah Berurah explains that bedieved, if there were no crowns, or let's say you have a word or a letter, shatnetz gatz, which does not have the crowns on it. I don't know if they missed it. So bedieved, that's okay. But the other, it's okay. And the Rama finishes Sivdal by saying, "Lechachil yichtov ksiva gasa ksas." When you write, it should be slightly thick. I don't know what heavy. Shlo yehe nimchakim v'mehera, so they don't get worn out quickly. Right? If you write really small, very thin, so then it's very easy, obvious. With time for things to get messed up. You should write them in a beautiful fashion. Now you might say, what's a beautiful fashion? You know, you could see it maybe when you've gone to buy mezuzahs, right? So you get a cheaper mezuzah, more expensive. And a more expensive, like you could just look at it, even if you're not that trained, you could see one writing is nicer and one writing is not. You could just see it. You could see it. Sometimes it's, you know, again, I'm not telling you to spend a chvesu for a mezuzah, but you know, there's clearly, our Sifrei Torah, you could see. Now again, some of our Sifrei Torah are older, and the technology wasn't as good, but even with our old Sifrei Torah, some are nicer and some are not, you know? I can tell you when I go and see, you know, go to other shuls or whatever, you know, some of the, now they're kosher, but again, they're nicer. So here we see the Rama saying, you know, now again, we could go forever for this, you know, like I said, by mezuzahs, you could see that you could spend a lot of money on a mezuzah or in tefillin, but that's what you're paying for.
Is it the nature of the materials that the ink soaks in or sits on the surface of the...
I'm not sure. They say, like we have a couple of Sifrei Torah here that are very old, very old, and a number of Sofrim have told me the exact same thing, that they're not fixable, because if you would fix them, the ink doesn't get in or whatever, and they would just crumble away after a little while anyway, so it's not worth fixing, so to speak. So I assume there's something like that, you know, like how much it adheres. But again, we talked about yesterday about that it has to be something that you could erase, so I don't know exactly biologically how it works exactly, but I'm sure it depends on the quality of the parchment and depends on the quality of the ink, you know. There's very big differences.
It looks like some like is in the cloth. Some looks like it's sitting on top.
I don't know. have to ask yourself, or when Rabbi Goldzweig comes, you can ask him. Hopefully he'll be coming.
Doesn't the Rav use a razor blade to remove letters?
You're very careful. But Baruch Hashem, I haven't had to do that recently.
It would seem to indicate that the majority of the letter is above the top.
Right, but you have to scrape pretty well.
You scrape into the box?
Well, sometimes it seems to me, that's what I'm wondering, that, you know, but again, I could be wrong. I'm not a sofer. Okay, I think we'll stop here for today. And Meretz Hashem, we'll continue a good old lefty-righty thing all over again. Meretz Hashem next week. Meretz Hashem, bling nether.